back, folks. We're back. We're back here where we were 5 weeks ago. Only everything's worse. Only we have gained nothing. We've lost a lot, and we're in actually a worse position than we were 5 weeks ago. That's just where we're at. We have not significantly diminished their missile launching capability. We are losing fighter jets and helicopters out of the air over Iran. It appears as though there has been some sort of attempt to make some sort of landing that has been thwarted. At least that's my interpretation from the A-10 Warthog. That would be the people deployed to, you know, clear a landing zone. But if they get shot down, what do you do at that point? It's not going well for them in any possible way. And yet, we were told, I was told over and over and over, that I'm an idiot. I'm so stupid. I just don't understand. I'm so dumb. And you know what's funny? First of all, you'll notice it everywhere. Like, I often bemoan and lament the general stupidity of the wider world. I try not to, but boy, it's hard not to when it's everywhere and ruining everything. But at the same time, I almost never say that individual people are stupid, because I don't think they are. I'm much more likely to think these people are lying, these people are pretending to be stupid. I don't believe that you get to the top of our government, on the top of our military, as a stupid person. But on X, it seems to be the only argument that the pro-Israeli side has now, is that they can't actually convince you. They don't actually have evidence to support what they believe. They will just condescend at you while also being wrong about what they're saying. It's very frustrating. And I've noticed this cycle that occurs where it's like, I'll say, you know, Iran has not been diminished that much. I'm trying to think of an actual, like, you know, real life example, because there was one recently. Because the way it typically goes is, you know, Iran actually is not destroyed that much. I think Trump is lying. And first it's like, you believe what Iran says? Just like back then it was, you believe what Hamas says? You trust those guys? What do you, you love Hamas? You trust them, those liars? And it's like, well, it's just true. I know it's true, and they're also saying it, but okay. This is how it goes. Oh, you believe them? You believe the enemy? And then I go, no, actually, this is from the New York Times. Oh, you believe the New York Times? Oh, you believe those liars? Actually, it's New York Times quoting an American official. Well, then, I mean, you think that matters? That you're so stupid, right? It's just every time it's like this. Oh, you believe these things? Yeah, they're true. So, you know, well, you can wait a month or two till you find out that it's true, or you can just listen to me right now. So I guess that's your choice. But we are right. And let's go ahead and go to clip number 17 here. This is the latest that Iran has issued. You tell me if they seem defeated and you know, shocked and at the mercy of Trump. Let's watch. He says, should the USA proceed with its threats concerning Iran's power plant facilities, the following retaliatory measures shall be promptly enacted. All power plants, energy infrastructure, and information and communication technology of the Zionist regime and all similar companies within the region that have American shareholders shall face complete and utter annihilation. Nothing stays hidden to our sight, even if it's hidden by Google. Stargate UAE, Abu Dhabi. So, I mean, they're literally just like, yeah, we know where your stuff is. We're gonna destroy it. Now, interestingly, as it goes across these people, you'll notice not a single one of them is a white Anglo-Christian. Not a single one.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors, and that term and that name lives forever. the InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself as InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and your being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines.
Spin, no surrender. This is Harrison Smith on the War Room with live stream spiring on X and band.video.
This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I want to go now to a little video put together by a user named Black Sheep on X, Roblox Jones. Let's watch. Eternal war against the enemies of freedom. Very, very cool stuff. Very good stuff from Black Sheep there. Of course, Wars of the Info is doing their own Lego renditions of the InfoWars family. But they're not the only ones getting in on the AI Lego creation phenomenon. Unfortunately, Pete Hegseth has been targeted by Iran for propaganda. We can go to this real quick. Just because I haven't played any of these. There's been a lot of these that have come out, and I haven't played any. It's pretty interesting. I mean, this is strange. A brave new world we're in. I mean, think about what I should have done is gone back and found some of the old propaganda from like World War One. This is actually a fascinating topic. I actually hadn't thought about this yet. But war propaganda is a really fascinating topic to look into. One of the interesting processes that took place in between World War One and World War Two was that in World War One, the propaganda was designed to make the enemy look silly, to degrade them, mock them, and make them look, you know, like a bunch of idiots. And it didn't work very well. It didn't work very well. And they learned that actually what you need to do, and what they did in World War II, was they made the propaganda a lot more scary. And it makes sense, right? You don't want to have your soldiers, you know, and you go to them, just be like, the who you're about to fight is so strong, they're so powerful and evil and awful, and it's going to be really hard. Like, yeah, it makes sense. At first you're thinking, no, we want to pump up our soldiers by showing that those dang krauts are nothing but, you know, no good goofballs, and we're going to go, you know, stomp all over them. But what happens when, you know, you're told that the Germans are all a bunch of idiots, and then they wipe out a platoon of yours? It's like, oh, okay, they're not idiots, actually. That all of the propaganda just sort of fades away the instant that it's proven that they're not a bunch of idiots. And so what they learned was that, no, you need the propaganda to scare people. You need to make your enemies look really evil and dangerous and scary, throwing babies against walls, babies on pikes, right? The Japanese guys with like sharp monster teeth, like, you know. So it's interesting. As the, you know, psychological manipulators of the world refine their art of manipulating the masses, we've arrived at a point that, in a way, we're back to the ridicule. We're back to the absurdity. We're back to simply trying to humiliate and denigrate your enemy, because the propaganda now is focused as much on your enemy as on your own people. So while they'll make videos to make, you know, Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump look ridiculous, you know, it's also because they're trying to convince us that they look ridiculous. They're trying to create the chaos in our country that would benefit them. So let's go to this Hegseth Lego Iranian propaganda, if for no other reason than the, you know, academic interest we have in the ever-changing landscape of war propaganda. Let's watch.
Yo, Pete Hegseth, this one's specially for you. You punk-ass rapist bitch, straight from Iran. Your tattoo covered clown with that cafe ink on your arm. Think you a crusader? Nah, just a drunk infidel in a fake uniform. Chain to kill all Muslims, wasted in the hotel lobby. Sexual assault settlement in Monterey. Blocked the door, took a phone, paid her off quiet, cause me too was on. Now you secretary? What a joke, bro.
I don't think they know that rap is supposed to rhyme.
Multiple affairs, kids in the mix, family man, hell no. Handsy with women at Fox, drunk on the job. Your own team say, yo, this dude toxic. Couldn't
even guard Biden's inauguration. I love how it's your like, own military said next. Book called American. It's such a funny, it's such a funny like mindset they have. You just a failed vet turned TV clown, slipping on your own mess. Trump picked you cause you kissed the ring. But wait, funny part ain't coming. Yeah, it doesn't rhyme. It's so funny. For that secretary gig, Trump himself was Bill Clinton's top cocksucker, giving blue jobs back in the day. Real talk, you out here. So again, you know, they're spreading anti-American propaganda, referencing the Epstein files there. I just find it interesting because it's like, it's this weird mix of like kind of lefty stuff where it's like Me Too movement, you harassed women. It's like this kind of weird for this like big warrior culture, you know, patriarchy to be saying that. While at the same time, they're like, and he is, you know, cheats on his wife. He commits infidelity. It's like, it's just kind of interesting because the left over here would never make a statement about infidelity. They wouldn't care about that type of thing. It's a curious mindset on display there. I just think it's fascinating. And just that's what people around the world are making fun of us for, I guess. I guess you could say. I do want to move on from the Iran war. We're going to come back to it in the third hour because we're going to be joined by Lebanon John, and we're going to get a big overview of everything going on and where we may be going. And we'll be talking about, yeah, these are actually great. Yeah, these propaganda videos are hilarious and like so well done. It's kind of ridiculous. I would watch a full show if they produced something like this. And again, they seem to have it right. Like that's a Chinese one. So there's Chinese AI where you have America represented by the eagle. And they also like represent Israel basically as a squid that sits on the eagle's head and is controlling it. So it's just kind of weird that like our geopolitical enemies are both making propaganda in different instances where they're like claiming that America is being controlled by hostile foreigners and that they're not actually at war with us. They're at war with the same people that we should be at war with, which is interesting. That's an interesting perspective to take that I agree with. Now, I do want to move on, but there's like this one is pretty big deal, I think, from the PalestinianChronicle.com, but it's actually just reporting what The Intercept has reported. Casualty cover-up. The Intercept reveals 750 U.S. troops killed or wounded. Again, something that we ourselves said and have said over and over. If you think only 13 people have died as a consequence of this month-long bombing campaign, you don't understand the world that we're in now. See, the world that we're in now, America acts like Israel. We don't believe the things that we used to believe. We used to believe in transparency and truthfulness. We used to believe in fair dealing and, you know, reciprocal benefits. Now we operate as if we can kill anyone we want for any reason we want. We can lie endlessly about whatever we want. We can abuse our own people. We can sacrifice anybody for any particular reason. We have been morally hollowed out as a consequence of our relationship and subversion by Israel. And it's very sad. It actually is sad to see because, you know, we spent a long time in this country creating a system that thrives on honesty, that can operate with as close to total transparency as you can while still recognizing the necessary secrecy involved in, you know, geopolitics and international relations. But still, this was the thing that separated us from everybody else. You think back to the JFK speech where he talks about a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy around the world trying to destroy America. And it was all about the repugnance that our culture feels at the very concept of secrecy, knowing that whatever benefit you get from keeping things secret is always and inevitably outweighed by the damage that's done by keeping things secret. Yeah, it might not go well if you tell everybody that you got a 500 soldiers killed. People are going to be mad at you. Not going to go well. It might feel like a better idea to just keep that secret if you can. Who's going to know, right? Well, first of all, eventually they're going to know, so your secrecy will be seen as a betrayal. But also, if you're able to cover up the disastrous consequences of your policy, then you can continue that policy, and the disastrous consequences can only become more disastrous. And the more disastrous they become, the more necessary it becomes to keep it quiet. And the harder it is to keep it quiet. So the more you need to use tyrannical measures to keep it quiet. It's a feedback loop that the founders recognized in 1776 and wrote the First Amendment to avoid. We are abandoning those principles because we've decided to redefine the West as we know it, meaning that we're redefining our foundation, what made us special, what established our mode of thinking and the traditions by which we operate our civilization. These things have all been very, you know, quietly but systematically replaced with just entirely new concepts, utterly divorced from our real history. So maybe now would be a good time to show sort of a two sides of the coin type of thing. The consequences of our failure to uphold our actual foundational principles, morality, worldview, and then show somebody doing a very good job attempting to recapture that. But again, this is all based on the fact that we do seem at this time to be willing to behave, like the United States as a government is willing to behave in ways that are totally anathema to our moral conscience. Because the people in power are doing bad things they don't want us to know about, so they have to hide it and disguise it and frame it as anti-Semitism or whatever other excuse they need to silence it. And you know, it's not a small thing. I mentioned it at the very end there, but before we go to these other videos, I want to go back to clip 17 here. And I don't know, this just kind of struck me as I was watching it. I guess I could go through and find each one of these guys. But the end of this video from Iran, they show like a pan across of all these guys. Half the guys are the Qatari Middle Eastern guys, and half guys are the American guys. And all the American guys have the American flag under them. I don't think a single one of them is a white American Christian. I don't know about Mark Rowan, but I believe he is Israeli. Huang, not exactly Smith. Altman, Jewish guy. Satya, Indian guy. Solomon, Jewish guy. So it's just kind of like, this isn't America. I mean, the historical American nation was white European Christian. And yet here we are in a war overseas, and you can show a pan across of everybody making deals over there with an American flag on their name, and not one of them is a white Christian? Not one of them. It's not really American. It doesn't feel very American to me. It's Chinese, Zio Chinese is how it feels to me personally. I mean, wouldn't it be kind of weird? Like, wouldn't it seem kind of strange if there was a panover of all of the big leaders of China and they were all named like Mike Waltz? They're all named Jim Smith, Harry Painter, you know, just like. What? I thought they're all Chinese. I thought this was the Chinese Empire. Why are they all white Christian dudes? You would never see that, obviously, because it's only white Christian countries that have been taken over. And it seems like they replaced the leadership, and now they're replacing the actual people. But that just kind of struck me, that it's like, okay, Iran hates America, but then the people they're pointing out, not one of them is a white European Christian American. So. Feels like we're being used a little bit, a lot, actually. And so what's the ultimate, you know, result of our willingness to be suckers, of our endless gullibility when it comes to the lies of scammers and crooks and infiltrators? Yeah, yeah, Apple, Google, Microsoft, yeah, have at them, boys. Have fun with that, Iran. Iran threatens to start attacking major U.S. firms on April 1st. Yeah, you know, have fun. Enjoy yourself. Won't affect me in a negative way. So the ultimate outcome, the ultimate result of this usurpation, willing usurpation in many cases, we gave up our willingness to just have a country, results in something like this. This is clip number 5. This is an ad for a congressional candidate in New Jersey. So this is the official campaign ad for what could very well be our next American congressman. Let's watch.
आपको पता है हम देसी कम्युनिटी न्यू जर्सी के सबसे बड़े कम्युनिटीज में से एक हैं। मेरा नाम जय वांगनकर है और मैं जून 2nd को कांग्रेस के लिए इलेक्शन लड़ रहा हूँ लेकिन बहुत सालों से हमारी देसी वॉइसेस पॉलिटिक्स में फुली रिप्रेजेंट नहीं हुई हैं। अब वक्त आ गया है कि हमारी आवाज सच में सुनी जाए इसलिए मैं कांग्रेस के लिए इलेक्शन लड़ रहा हूँ।
Don't worry, folks, you are not having a stroke. Even though you may have felt like you're having a stroke. No, that was a congressional campaign ad for a guy in New Jersey, the state in America, not speaking English. I was going to say not a single word of English, but there were like 4 or 5 words of English in there. I think this is a problem. I think this is actually a giant problem. How has it gotten this bad? We have Congress members running in America not even speaking English, not even trying to appeal to English speakers in America, appealing only and exclusively to his ethnic group, which apparently has a sizable enough population in his district that that's a viable strategy. Yeah, this is a problem. This is like a gigantic existential problem. Luckily, I know a great friend and commentator who understands this like I do. Kevin Deanna, friend of the show, been on before. Here's a little clip from his show. Clip 24 first. Kevin Deanna on an important message to Americans on what are American values. Let's watch.
Now, of course, what does he mean by American values? Where did those American values come from? What year were they invented? I mean, what are we dealing with right now? We've got the Asian lawyer from the ACLU and Ketanji Brown Jackson wondering what the founders meant. I mean, does anyone else see the absurdity here? So like Chinese birth tourists and every Mayan in some Central American jungle can crawl in here and say they're just as American as we are? We all know what's going on here, and so do they. This whole thing is a farce. What are these American values? Because if we actually want to go to the founding generation, you want to talk about American values? Those values were religious fanaticism, white nationalism, race war for land acquisition, and a determination to shoot anyone who says you have to pay your taxes. There's your American values. I mean, this country was founded by racist smugglers, frontier warlords, land speculators, and plantation owners pretending to be Romans. And that's why it's the greatest country in the world.
Can't say I disagree. In fact, let's hear that again, shall we? Let's go to clip 32 here. Tell us again, who founded America exactly?
There's your American values. I mean, this country was founded by racist smugglers, frontier warlords, land speculators, and plantation owners pretending to be Romans. And that's why it's the greatest country in the world.
Anybody else, feel goosebumps? Anybody else getting goosebumps for some reason? I love it. You love to see it. And again, I think the most important part of what he just said was, we know it and they know it. That, I think, is important to understand. Every once in a while, you'll hear somebody, you know, actually say it. There's a tweet that goes viral every once in a while, an Indian guy who's moved to Canada. And he says, very simply, we're going to keep moving in here. We're going to outnumber you soon. And then it will be a matter of a single vote to kick out all of you white invaders. And it's like, okay, here's one Indian guy out of what, 25 billion? How many of them are there? But there's at least one, meaning there's probably more than one. And I want to almost like go out with that tweet printed out and like show that to liberals and be like, but what do you do about this? But what do you do about this? I mean, you can't ignore this. You can't just pretend this doesn't exist. You have people moving in who are very clearly motivated by hatred of you, by a desire to not just like replace you, but like hurt you, like take your stuff, punish you for existing, take your country, humiliate you. And their entire lives and the entire world media encourages them that this is a good thing, that they're actually acting on the side of righteousness and good, to come in as an invited guest with a secret plan to steal your host's home. It's sick and it's wrong, and we have to stand up against it. And if the thing stopping us from standing up against it is that we're being called racist, it's time to get over that. It's almost one of those, like IQ charts, the midwit chart, where the dumb guy and the smart guy think the same thing, but the midwit believes the bull crap. It's kind of like, you know, the midwit's the ones going, no, the founding fathers were egalitarian. And it's like, ah, no, I think they were actually like really racist, actually. Actually, I think that was like really a fundamental aspect of their thought process. And guess what? That's not a bad thing, because that's literally the same case for every other race of people for all of time. Okay? It's fine. It's fine to protect yourself. It's fine to want your country to remain your country. It's fine to deny the lies of foreigners that want to infiltrate and steal your stuff by playing on your pity and your covert inverted white supremacy that makes you think you don't need protection, and you're white, so you don't want to make the non-white people feel bad by talking about being white. Stop it. Stop. You got to stop being idiots. You got to stop falling for stuff. You got to understand, some dude comes here from a foreign country and makes a campaign video for Congress in his own language. That's an act of usurpation.
Everything I sell to you works. Obviously, that's the goal. So that you get it, and you like it, and you want to get it again. Everything I sell to you, we put deep research into, and I personally use. Now, I've been promoting zeolites for decades with great sponsors, because they really work. I'm going to tell you what they are. Well, Bigley, our sponsor, has a really high-quality, private-label, top-selling brand that we were able to private-label we're bringing to you right now. With the unprecedented toxins in the environment, with the chemtrailing, all the garbage in the food, it is more important than ever to take zeolites on a regular basis. But not all zeolites are created equal. This is really a high-quality zeolite. Please do your own research, and then go to theoliveshowstore.com and secure our high-quality zeolite formula. Now let's go over just some of the incredible facts. We're swimming in toxins every single day. Metals from the air, chemicals in the food and water. Your body needs help binding and eliminating this garbage before it builds up and destroys your cells. Inner Zeolite Detox Defense, advanced binding agent. This isn't some gimmick. Zeolite is a naturally occurring volcanic mineral with a unique cage-like crystalline structure that acts like a molecular trap. Through ion exchange and absorption, it selectively grabs positively charged toxins, heavy metals, ammonia, and other unwanted compounds while letting beneficial minerals stay put. Then it escorts them straight out of your system through your gut. Paired with folic acid, it also supports healthy mineral transport and cleaner internal environment. Users report feeling lighter, more balanced, and clear-headed with consistent daily use. Just one dose a day gives you 60 full servings of detox support. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't steer you wrong. You know that. If you love our methylene blue, if you love our bolivine colostrum, if you love the other incredible products like our T3 iodine, you are going to love this Zeolite detox formula. Secure yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you haven't checked out the other supplements like our methylene red that's proprietary to us, our ultramethylene blue that is on record the strongest and the best, then check it out today. And while you're there, check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, baseball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, you name it, to spread the word of freedom in America and worldwide. Bottom line, thanks for keeping us on the air over the years. We're facing some of the biggest challenges ever to stay on the air. But thanks to you standing with us as our partners, the InfoWar, we are stronger than ever. So thank you so much for your support. Now please visit thealexjonesstore.com today. And if you want to get massive discounts on all the supplements, sign up as a subscriber, lock in your orders in the future. You can cancel any time, so all you're really locking in is the massive discounts. Same thing with VIPs, cancel any time, $30 a month, get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, you should be a VIP. Thank you so much for your support. Now secure your Zeolite formula now at thealexjonesstore.com.
As long as I've been an InfoWarrior, 18 years. And Texan, born and raised, so I know, like, knives, like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm, like, horrible with equipment. I'm, like, very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows if there's a knife comes back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and,
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in stores all day for like $80 or selling for like $40. We'll be right back.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Keep your hand on your gun. Don't you trust anyone? Keep your hand on your gun. Don't you trust anyone?
First in my scope is BAE Systems. Specialize in killing people from a distance. Power is a drug and they feed the addiction. Immediate deletion of people's existence. Who says what isn't legitimate resistance? To push these buttons, you don't need a brave heart. State of the art darts leave more than your face scarred. You might impress an A&R with your fake bars. Cause you probably think Rolls Royce only make cars. This is for
the great low-key. Is doing the song that you're hearing right now. That is just as relevant as it ever was, folks. Written, of course, during the Iraq War, but what is old is new. We're here again, folks. We're going to be joined by Lebanon John in the next hour. We're going to get back into the Iran War. We may take your calls as well. We did that a couple years ago at the very beginning of the war by Israel against Gaza, and we got some great content out of that. We had some very interesting callers, and we might do that again. Or we may just get an update as to what exactly is going on in the Middle East and where things stand strategically. And we're also going to get into how Turkey plays into all of this. And actually, I'm going to get into some, to the data center stuff here in just a second. But there's another phenomenon. Earlier I talked about how online the pro-Israeli people are just resorting to calling everybody stupid. and it's not working very well. And one of the main strategies is source discrediting, right? Oh, you got that from Iran. You believe them. And it's so funny because it's stuff like the attack on the school, right? And they're like, you believe what Iran said? It's like, Pete Hegseth admitted that this was the case. But it's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So that's one of the strategies that's often used. The other, and it's hard to, it's hard to kind of explain this, but you'll already know it if you're a conspiracy theorist, because this is kind of a regular thing that's always happened. And it's that sometimes reality really is so ridiculous that people won't believe you on the basis of how ridiculous it is. So, like I said, something about, you know, maybe Trump wants to leave NATO because they're gearing up to make Turkey the next
enemy.
Hello, the next enemy.
The old ritual will be coming in and interrupting Owen. I'm supposed to tell you.
It's been a while.
I was already shooting a video on this when I saw your headline. This is the Battle of Kirk Island. I believe that A-10 being shot down over that. I said a week ago, they use A-10s there. That means they're going in. We need to pray that Trump pulls back. I think we're launching an invasion of the Strait of Hormuz for the islands this weekend. This is really bad news. We'd heard they were going to do it Friday. They wouldn't send A-10s into solving things up unless that was the case. I want to say, pray for peace, folks. It looks bad.
Absolutely. Amen. Alex Jones, everybody. But this is one of the things. Or the other one I'll get is people say, oh, why aren't you're freaking out about the red heifer thing? And it's like, I'm not the one saying the red heifer thing. They're the one saying it. We have Naftali Bennett, the former prime minister of Israel, saying that Turkey is the next target. So it's just, it happens over and over where you just repeat what they're saying and then people act like you're the crazy one. Well, you're obsessed with this. They're going to have the red heifer and they're going to remake the temple to bring about the Messiah. And it's like that Benjamin Netanyahu gave a speech saying that, not me. You think it's ridiculous? Take it up with him. I just take him seriously. I take Naftali Bennett seriously when they say this, especially when the geopolitical construct of the world shifts in accordance with what they're saying. When Trump is threatening to leave NATO, I really think that they are, I mean, they operate on timetables that are years in advance. They're seeding the ground for this war to not just continue forever in Iran, but to expand to Turkey and maybe then to expand to the rest of Europe as more and more Muslim refugees get into Europe and they take more and more power and eventually vote themselves into Sharia law. Suddenly they'll be the big terrorist Muslim threat that we have to go after, because the war that we are now in, that I would contend has been going on for probably 10 years or more at this point, considering the fact that you have the civil war in Syria that comes after the Arab Spring that Russia's involved in, and you've got the sort of proxy war going on in Syria for like 15 years, actually, which has been going on forever the whole time. And I mean, we're in World War III, and we've been in World War III for a long time. I guess it's up to the future historians to look back and determine exactly where it began. But certainly it has begun, and it began a long time ago. Where it goes from here is still up to us. And, you know, again, we're looking at all these different signals that we're getting, many that are contradictory or out of step and out of line with what we've heard before. Again, the fact that Susie Wiles goes on mainstream media and says, yeah, Trump is being given a rose-colored view of the conflict, and I had to tell his advisors to just give him the truth and not, you know, change what they're saying to make him happy. Like, that's crazy. That's a very big deal. Joe Kent quitting is like the biggest deal ever. That's huge. Pete Hegseth firing all these generals, and the assumption is that's because they weren't yes men. They weren't going to go along with what is probably a giant invasion of Iran. An invasion of Iran, by the way, that Trump has apparently been planning since the 80s. And I'm going to wait to get in. I'm going to wait for Lebanon John to really get into this, because he and I were talking about it earlier today. And we're thinking maybe that's part of the problem, is that like Trump actually, I mean, he gives interviews, and all of the crew pull in the Barbara Waters interview from the 80s where Trump is talking about Iran. And he's talking about, we can go in and take their oil and we can take over the coast and be this giant injection of cash into the American economy. And it's like, okay, did he come up with this plan in the 1980s and never changed it, never updated it, is still operating on assumptions that he made 40, 50 years ago? Is that possibly part of why this boondoggle has been carried out under Trump? And was this the reason that Trump was even supported in the first place by some of the Israeli influence networks here in America? Because they obviously were very, very, very upset with the JCPOA, the nuclear agreement that Obama made. And they really wanted it taken down. That was one of the first things that Trump did when he became president. And it's not unlikely that that was a bargain. Hey, you support me, get me into office, I will get rid of the JCPOA. And if you watch The Lobby, the documentary made by Al Jazeera about the Israeli lobby here in America, they made one in the UK as well. Yeah. Go ahead and pull this one in for when John's on, because we'll want to reference this. Because it's important to understand. Because, this shapes Trump's thinking and like where we are, what the purpose of all of this is. And it may be that the plan he came up with in the 1980s, he's still running with while Iran has made 40 years of advancement and been ready for this for so long. We don't know. We just don't know. But we do know the, you know, consequences of everything else we've done in the Middle East in this world war that's been going on for 15 years. Of course, the president of Syria is, I believe, still in Europe, being celebrated and honored with the red carpet rolled out. Meanwhile, drugged, raped, and impregnated Alawite women recount kidnappings in the new Syria. Abductions of women and girls from Syria's Alawite minority are, quote, more common and more brutal than Syria extremist-led government has acknowledged, a New York Times investigation published April 3rd has found. In November, the Syrian government, led by former ISIS commander Ahmed al-Shara, denied that Alawite women and girls are being abducted, claiming that dozens and dozens of cases, they had just run away from home to be with lovers. However, Syrian activists confirmed the details of nearly 100 Alawite girls who had been abducted, including many who were taken following the government's massacre of at least 1,600 Alawite civilians in March 2025. So again, you don't even need our speculation. You don't need us to look at Iran and go, here's what will happen in the future. Just look at Syria. Syria was not an enemy of ours. It was not a threat to us. They also didn't have nuclear weapons or, you know, anything that they used to justify the attacks on Iran. None of it existed for Syria. Syria was not a Western country. It was not a democracy by any means. Of course, it's not one now. That didn't seem to matter, actually. It turns out that it doesn't really matter to the people in power if you are a monarchist, authoritarian, you know, tyranny, like our best friends, the Saudis, or a clerical construct of government like the Iranians. That's not the thing that they care about. Bashar al-Assad is no less or more of a democratic leader than al-Shara is. Al-Shara didn't usher in a utopian globalist vision of diversity. The exact opposite. Massacres against minority populations of Christians, Alawites, Druze. Kidnapping girls from these minority sects to both psychologically and physically terrorize these minority populations. What is the argument for this? Like, can anybody out there, and there are thousands of people out there who spent 10 years desperately advocating for America to get involved and go oust Bashar al-Assad, is this the outcome that was desired? He was an eye doctor who lived in England most of his life. And if you see the images, I mean, look at a picture of Bashar al-Assad and his wife. She's beautiful. She's glamorous. She's wearing something that you would see, you know, a woman from the Kennedy clan wear. Like, she's classy. She looks Western. She looks like somebody you'd see walking around the streets of Paris. Meanwhile, al-Shara, you can't even find a picture of him with his wife because every time there is one, she's standing 10 feet away from him and a little bit behind him and dressed head to toe in black robes. So it's like, okay, we replace the Western guy with the ISIS terrorist. And this was on purpose, and this was the design, and this was the desired outcome of the people who did it. I mean, that's the argument right there. Explain it to me. So there's Bashar al-Assad. murderous dictator. There's al-Shara, freedom fighter. It's ridiculous. We literally replaced a dude that looks like what he is, a Western eye doctor, with the guy that looks like what he is, a ISIS barbarian. And we're told this is progress, this is good. This is good for who? Not Christians, not Americans, not the minorities in Syria, not the majorities in Syria. Definitely not the women in Syria. Thank you, crew. Very good point. It's not even a laughing matter, but yeah, seriously, the women in Syria too. But we got to go to war with Iran because we want more of this, I guess. We could still back out right now. Right now. Iran 1953, MI6 plots with Islamist to overthrow democracy. Declassified British files highlight a little-known aspect of the joint MI6-CIA coup against Iran's democratically elected government in August 1953, UK covert action in support of leading radical Shia Islamist, the predecessor of Ayatollah Khomeini. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to get back to the Iran war. There is some other stuff that I do need to cover. A bunch of videos actually come out sort of about the same topic, but I want to ask, I'm going to go to data centers here. We are building at this moment in America, no less than 3,000 data centers, 3,000. I looked it up yesterday. Couldn't believe it. The question is why? What are they going to do? There's a lot of talk about data centers. I haven't heard a single reason they need to be built, why they need to be built by the thousands. What is this going to do for Americans? I honestly want to know. Do we really need 3,000 server farms that are bigger than you can possibly imagine? In fact, crew, go into yesterday's folder. There's a video about the farmland in Florida that's being taken over for the new Meta data bank. It's like unbelievable. The person's driving for like 5 minutes and it's just all of this farmland is going to be turned into a server farm. Yeah, there's 405 operating in Texas, 442 being built. Is it going to improve your life? Is your life suffering from a lack of computational power right now? Is it worth it? Because the question isn't, these aren't small things. These data centers require like billions and billions of gallons of fresh water. They require acres and acres and acres of farmland. They require billions upon billions of dollars. They require so much energy, it's like impossible to even describe. One data center, a super data center in Ohio, requires as much energy as 9 nuclear reactors. So think about all of the resources that we are and plan to pour into data centers. All of the fresh water, all of the land, these are things that we shouldn't be wasting, all of the energy. More energy than our cities currently use. All of this investment, all of these resources being poured into data centers. How is it going to improve your life? What is it going to be used for? Can you tell me? Can anybody tell me? It seems like right now we've got plenty of computational power to handle 99.999999% of technological necessity. What is the point of these? Why are we spending so much? I mean, would you not rather have like a brand new airport? Would it not benefit you to have like your roads repaved and your elementary school refurbished? Why are we dedicating so much to these data centers? What are we doing it for? It's all for AI, but like I can't even figure out what the purpose of that would be. Obviously, we have plenty of computational power right now. I mean, yesterday I was doing research with AI. I had every type of AI open. I'm searching in Claude and Gemini and Grok and all these other, all totally free. Doesn't seem like there's like a big crunch of computational power if I can be operating 10 of these systems at once and not pay a cent for it. Seems like there's plenty out there. It's like, no, we need more to do more. To what? Create more AI abomination images? Like, what are we talking about? All of this is, I don't really want you to answer. I know the answer. The answer is they're building the prison around us. That's what this will be used for. It's the only thing this stuff could be used for. It's the only reason that you would have to build thousands of data centers right now. It's not that we're just, you need somewhere to keep all of our photos and we're constantly all running out of iCloud space. Like that. It's not for us. It's to enslave us. And it's our money and it's our resources and it's our fresh drinking water that's going towards it, but it is entirely and completely the infrastructure of control. That's all this is for. So we'll go to a few of these because, again, it's not like this is some brilliant upgrade where it's like, oh, we're spending billions of dollars and all this, groundwater on, we're getting rid of the coal power plants and replacing with nuclear and we'll never have to get coal ever again and they'll run forever and power everybody and electricity will be free. It's like, okay, then I can understand the resource dedication to something like that. We're going to pour all of these resources into all of these data centers and it's only going to make our life worse. Do you understand what a big deal this is? So I don't, which one should we go to first? Let's go to clip 33 first because this is just another side effect. Like, you know, the main threat of this is that it's literally the prison walls being built around you. And the side effects are your electricity bill going up and, you know, literally a digital panopticon being erected so they can know everything about you at every second of the day and to surveil and censor and control you. That's like the real big threat. But along with this come a whole host of other minor inconveniences. Let's watch. This is the noise you're hearing from the data center in Michigan. Pleasant, isn't it? One resident says the noise has made him unable to open his windows in the summer, and he's worried what that will do to his property value. The company, Hyperscale Data, is planning to expand.
In the summertime, like I said, we like to have our windows open, and it's hard to when you're listening to that all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I worry about that, the property values, because who's going to want to, if we want to resell the house, who's going to want to buy the house with that noise? No one's going to want to buy it. They'll be like, no, we ain't moving there. I mean, you know, and we like to hear, we've been here since
old. I can't even stand to listen to the video of it. But think about that. The guy's like, yeah, no one's going to buy my house now. Not only, like, it's lowering my house value, like, it might have lowered it to zero. You think they're going to pay for it? You think the data centers with the trillions of dollars on hand will be able to spare the, you know, $200,000 this dude's property is worth? Probably not. No, they'll just destroy your life, destroy your neighborhood. Take all of your tax dollars and your groundwater and your electricity so they can inconvenience and enslave you. You know, same thing like at some of the Major League Baseball stadiums now. They got rid of concession stands. Now there's just big vending machines with touchscreen, you know, operation. But the beer still costs $20 a pop. $20 a can for beer. You'd think you fired all these people, you're saving all of your major costs for running this operation. You'd think maybe you'd pass some of that down onto the consumer, especially since now we're taking on the labor and burden of doing the work that your cashier used to do. We check ourselves out now, but the price only stays up. That's the data center mindset in total. They will ruin your property, take all of your resources, and then at the end of the day, you don't even benefit. You don't get anything from it. Nothing about your life improves in the slightest from all of these inconveniences. That's the deal we're making. You give us all of the most precious resources in the world at a time when the country is collapsing and, the, you know, everything's failing. We're going to dedicate infinite resources to building these things. And in return, your life just gets worse in every possible way. Thanks, guys. Thanks for the deal we've made. Let's go to that Florida video so we can see just how much land is being given over to these data centers so they can build our prison.
I'm taking this video so that people can understand, like, this is the video prior to the video. This is the farmland that you're driving through until you come to the AI data center. Like, it is nothing but just super rural homes, beautiful homes. Like, we're rural, very rural. And then, like, just to give you an idea, so, like, that's literally just so rural. And then here we go. We're about to pull up on it. You can start to see the lights from back here. It's so intrusive because you're just, it's literally like 30 plus miles, maybe more, of nothing but just beautiful rural farmland.
So again, this is a woman in Florida, Atalia Blooms on TikTok, I believe, maybe Instagram. And she's just, she's driving out. Well, anyway, it goes on. She just drives past field after field after field, and it's all been demolished to create these massive data centers that just go on forever and ever and ever. And again, I ask you, for what? For what? Not anything that's going to benefit you. So we can go to this video. So many people showed up to oppose these data centers in, I believe this was Michigan, if I'm not mistaken, something like that. They had to bring out the bleachers, and yet they passed it anyway. This vote is the latest in a series of incidents between city officials and residents who opposed the data center proposal. CRG, the data center arm of the area developer Clayco, hopes to build the data center on Highway 67. And so you have all of these people come out to oppose this, to stand up against this, and then they pass it anyway. They pass it anyway. The whole community is saying no. You could go one by one and ask them. You'd get 99% of the people saying, no, we don't want that here. Guess what? You're getting it anyway. All right? And you're going to pay for it, and your electricity bill is going to go up, and your well is going to go dry. And at the end of all of it, the only benefit that could possibly come from it is that a bunch of psychotic tyrants control your information. Great. Data centers. Screw them. We should burn nothing.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself as InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition, that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts, this is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and you're being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. This is personally one of my favorite shirts in the new line. Now here's the classic InfoWars logo on a white shirt. Never done black on white. Seems like we should have. Looks great. Got the 1776 on the shoulder. You are literally funding and supporting and wearing your uniform in the fight to defeat the globalists. InfoWars is 28 years old. America is 250. And look at the back of this clean shirt. USA 250, 1776 forever. Semi-quintennial, that means 250, baby. America's birthday with badass hats as well. And then, of course, we've got the new limited edition, America at 250 years old. And the back of these shirts are amazing Americana. And I designed this, the Betsy Ross flag with 250 on it. Get yours now at thealexofstore.com.
I'm back because I forgot one point I want to be very clear about. This is a fundraiser. We need funds to continue on and the new operation. It's urgent. These are historic shirts. We've taken the InfoWar this far. Please take action now. For those of you who have been on the fence over bought anything, thealexofstore.com, but have shared links and things, I appreciate you. But come on, folks. We're the tip of the spear. We need you. We need your support. You're the tip of the spear. Thank you so much.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.